Gustavo Jimeno, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you. Very nice to be here after the summer.
Yes, great to see you. Did you have a good summer?
Very good. Especially I'm thinking of the second half of the summer. I really had some time off, which I really needed. And I always make use of this time of the year to relax, be with the family, to study the next scores of the next season. But the first part of the summer was still active. So it felt from last year, September, to beginning of August this year, it felt like a very long season. So I must admit, even though I'm very passionate musician and I love making music, rehearsals, traveling, concerts, etc., I really needed mentally some time off. So I very much enjoyed also this, you know, finishing the season beginning of August and then having real 4 weeks completely off.
So you're back and refreshed, and you've just had the opening week's concerts, Pictures at an Exhibition, and Spirited Overtures. And the Pictures program featured spotlight artist Jan Leszczycki. Tell us more about why you chose Jan as one of the spotlight artists this season.
In a way, it's kind of obvious. We are talking about not only, of course, a great artist, great pianist, and who is in growth, I think, as an artist, as a person, also considering, of course, that he's really very young, but extremely talented. Also because he's already even, he has a relationship with the TSO and it feels a little bit like family. It's a bit the same than with James Ennis. They are, in a way, all friends of the orchestra. We have known them since long ago and we very much enjoy meeting them with regularity, approaching together parts of the repertoire, which we have not done before. I hoped also to mean something for their lives and for their development. And definitely they bring something to us and to our audience. So it's great. And especially knowing that Jan is able to offer contrasting repertoire. So as a spotlight artist, he has been doing Beethoven now with our colleagues, Concertmaster Jonathan Crowe, and with Joe Johnson, principal cellist. But in the future, it's great to know that he will be doing Chopin First Piano Concerto with me conducting, and then he will be playing and leading from the piano all 5 Beethoven concerti. So it's ideal for many reasons. So versatile, and we are happy that we have this relationship existing, and we wanted to emphasize even more this year.
Now, there is not one, but there are 2 spotlight artists. Tell us about Anna Prohaska.
Anna Prohaska is very popular in Europe, or is someone I've known about for many years. Less here, and that has always been the purpose when we started with this initiative of spotlight artists. We have 2 of them. If possible, contrasting characters is great, different instruments, and also different backgrounds. In the case of Jan Leszczycki, we know very well. Anna, we don't, in a way. I know her, but the orchestra doesn't. Most of the audience probably don't know her. So it's a great opportunity for me and something I very much enjoy to introduce also artists who I really believe, who I really admire, to introduce to the audiences in Toronto and to the orchestra. Also because I think that's really going to be a match. When I envision someone like Anna performing together with the musicians of the TSO, I think immediately it's going to be musically very organic. Again, we talk about one of those artists who is so curious, so open-minded, so incredibly versatile. I've seen her doing modern music, chamber music. She does Kurtak, she does Adams, she does sing Mozart wonderfully, Haydn, Baroque. And she's really very curious, very cultivated and refined artist. And I remember when I approached her about this idea, right away she expressed how thrilled she was. Not only that, she was already right from minute one brainstorming and suggesting pieces, and I realized, well, the reply of her is showing to me it's the right person, the right artist, because she had so much repertoire and so many ideas to offer, and since then we have been back and forth commenting and brainstorming about the programs. It's wonderful. Now we realize it's really great to have someone like her who knows so much repertoire and who is going to introduce something unique.
Tell us a bit about what she will be performing with the TSO this season.
So she will be doing indeed with John Adams himself conducting music by him. But then in the other program, she will do a little piece by Wainwright, some Haydn, and also an aria by Mozart. But then also in the last movement of Mahler Fourth Symphony. She has a prominent role, of course, and I'm sure she will also do some chamber music with the musicians of the TSO, which is also ideal when you have a spotlight artist that we get to enjoy of her artistry in different facets and in different contexts.
The TSO's open house and free community concert was this past weekend. It's a new tradition of the TSO. What's your favorite part of the open house?
Well, you know that depending on where you perform, the silence of audiences, the silence is different. Silence or the attentiveness or the vibe or the energy, however you want to call it, in a city, in a hall, it's different, it's unique. And within the kind of atmosphere we experience normally at Roy Thompson Hall, the one of the open house, it's also different. You just realize when you are that the people coming in are probably not attending our concerts regularly. You realize there are families, there are people of all ages, and actually the open house starting from the very beginning of the day, from the morning until we do the performance. So it's a great initiative in order for kids being there with their families, getting to know better the instruments, about the music, to visit the hall and to get to know the musicians, and so to do a number of activities, which concludes in this open house concert, which we did with Daniel Bartolomé Poyser and with myself, doing very different, contrasting short pieces, but all really fun and with quality. But just to realize that the vibe is different, that's something which I find enriching to me, to us, something we very much enjoy, and we do it with full conviction and commitment. And we, of course, hope to contribute to our community and to their lives and to them, but they for sure inspire us.
Coming up, Mozart's Requiem will be filling Roy Thompson Hall with former TSO music director Jukka Pekka Saraste. This is a perennially powerful and beautiful work. Can you speak to what makes it so captivating?
In the open house a few days ago, I realized Daniel was conducting the overture of Magic Flute. And it's one of those moments, again, when I was listening, and you listen to Mozart, which is music of the middle of the 18th century, and sounds to me so modern in a way, so powerful, so emotional. Mozart doesn't need lots of instruments involved and lots of effects to just to convey a really strong, very meaningful feelings. It's at least the way I experience it, to me, it feels nowadays almost like modern music. Like, this is just so powerful, I can't reject it. It just grabs me. It gets my attention, gets my emotions and my curiosity. And I think that's what happens with genius of the whole history of music. But that, in a way, surprises me more because we are talking about music from centuries ago. In the end, with all differences of the context in all senses and the society and the and everything and the times we live, still we are human beings. So great music, great art, no matter when it was composed, is really captivating. It's really very, very emotional. And I think that still speaks to human beings nowadays. If there is, of course, also a text and a certain situation, and there is is not only an abstract art, but there is also, there are words and there are thoughts and there is reflection. So no doubt that there are even extra layers which apply to our existence. And so the combination of that genius composition and the music plus the theme and the reflection on it, that makes it, I think, very modern, and definitely applies also to us still as society and as human beings.
For anyone who may be less familiar with the Requiem than you and I are, what would you say they should listen for or take away from the performance?
If I had to recommend to a friend of mine, I've never attended to this concert with Mozart's Requiem. It's not easy to find a recommendation, but for sure I would say read the text before and think about it. And maybe even playing some parts of it, you know, at home probably helps to understand, reading a little bit about it. Like I always say to people, then don't go to the concert hall feeling that you have to understand as much as possible or that you have to process in your mind as much as possible. Just let it happen. I think if you are relaxed, confident, open-minded, and you know just a little bit, and you know the text, I think the music will speak to you. I think doing a great effort in trying to understand something probably does not help too much, because you feel that maybe I don't know enough about this to understand. No worries. Of course you will feel it. Of course you will understand. Just be relaxed, open-minded, and try to be in connection with yourself, with your own feelings, with your own thoughts, and don't feel that you know less than other audience members or that you know less than professional musicians. This music is for all of us, and I'm sure that will have an impact in your emotions, and just accept it and enjoy it.
The season has just started. There are a lot of concerts ahead in the 2024-25 season. What program would you want to attend as a patron?
All of them. I, you know, we took care of every single program with much care. We try to find contrast within a program, sometimes also the relationships, but also from program to program. Let's take the first two programs of the season, which we just did. In the first program, we had a new composition by a living composer, Carlos Simon. Then we had a Beethoven triple, completely from a different period. And then a blockbuster of the classical literature, Pictures at an Exhibition, but from a different perspective, because it was not the most popular orchestration, which is by Ravel, but in this case by Gorchakov, which the orchestra didn't know. So within a program, there are contrasts. The second program of the season was overtures, which are very light, very enjoyable, very extroverted, where the humor and irony is present in Fledermaus by Strauss, or Barbieri di Sevilla, Rossini, and Mozart, of course. So, and Stravinsky's Jeu de Cartes, which is also a great piece, because there are quotations from not only looking back at Mozart, but also quotations of Barbieri di Sevilla, also a little bit of the Fledermaus, also a little bit of Ravel's La Valse. So pieces which are clearly contrasting, which take place in 175 years of distance from Mozart to Stravinsky. So there are also relationships and obvious contrasts, things in common. And that's a little bit what we try with every program. It's for me impossible to choose. I'm very much looking forward to, of course, doing Bartók, but also introducing Anna Prohaska, and to do Mahler again. I love doing Mahler together with the TSO, because I feel that we discover it together, we rediscover it. They know, I know, but we bring our perspectives into play, and I think that's an inspiring process. But also having Anna singing Mozart, Haydn, also because nowadays in the programming of a whole season, sometimes there is less space for certain classics like Haydn or Mozart, which is wonderful to have. And we do with Jan the first piano concerto by Chopin, which is wonderful. And I love Chopin and the piano concertos. But in the same concert, we do Bruckner's First Symphony. There are no records of it, like the orchestra never played it before. This I find very exciting. We are finding our ways of introducing lesser known works by really important and prominent composers in the history of music. So I guess I could just go on forever talking about all the programs, beautiful programs, all of them, and with contrast among themselves, and also that within a program there are different things to enjoy, to look at, and also simply refreshing for the combinations of pieces we have in there.
Well, it sounds like the overarching theme really is discovery, both for the audience and for you and for the orchestra, which brings really exciting energy to the season. Gustavo Gimeno, thank you so much for joining me tonight, and toy, toy, toy for 2024-25.
Thank you very much.